Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Every week so far in this Trinity season, the lessons for the day have really built on the same theme: how God builds His church, how He grows His kingdom, how He expands His rule here on earth. Every week, a different aspect of the gathering of God's kingdom. If you recall, last week we heard about some of the rules of the house, some of the rules for living in the kingdom, which begin and end with being merciful as our Father in heaven is merciful. Today in the epistle, St. Peter picks up on some of those similar rules of the house. Finally, all of you be of one mind, be sympathetic, show brotherly love, be compassionate, be friendly, do not repay evil with evil or insults with insults, but on the contrary, pronounce a blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. You were called to this, Peter says. All Christians he's talking to, all of you, he says, all Christians have the calling from God, the calling into His kingdom, the calling to unity with one another, the calling to kindness, the calling to imitate Jesus, which Peter also says includes imitating His suffering patiently. But it also includes not being afraid of those who cause you suffering and not being troubled by the suffering. Finally, Peter says that we are all called always to be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for an explanation of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. All of us here have been called to that. But how exactly has God called us to that? How does He call people into His kingdom and teach them to behave as His children in His kingdom? You remember a few weeks ago, in the Trinity season still, we heard how the master of the house in Jesus' parable of the Great Supper called or invited people to come to His supper by sending out His servants to go deliver the invitation. Then a couple of weeks ago, we heard how the Lord described Himself as the one who went out to seek the one who was lost. Well, which is it? Does the Lord Himself go out to seek those who are lost and bring them into His kingdom, or does He send other people out to do it? And if so, whom does He send? In today's gospel, we learn that the Lord chooses certain men from among those whom He has called and calls those men and sends them out exactly where He wants them. But at the same time, He is the one who is working through them to call and to gather the lost into His kingdom. Today we learn about God's call to some of the called. We see Jesus by the Sea of Gennesaret, or the Lake of Gennesaret, which we also know as the Sea of Galilee. Here, at the Sea of Galilee, He intentionally comes across some fishermen by the shore. Now, St. Luke is the gospel writer, the evangelist, who tells us the most about this account. Matthew and Mark talk about it very briefly, basically just about the calling of these fishermen without the details. Your Bible, if you look in it later, will probably have a little footnote or some kind of note telling you where to go in Matthew and Mark's gospel to find the parallel account. But if your Bible has a little note that points you also to John chapter 1 for a parallel account, you can ignore that because that's a different account. It took place at a different time, at a different place, and under different circumstances when Jesus first called Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John and a few others at the very beginning of his ministry. That was a completely different call when he called them to first come and get to know him. When John the Baptist pointed them to him as the Lamb of God, that's when they met Jesus and began to hear his gospel. That's when they became laymen, if you will, as using the term that we use today. But Jesus hadn't yet called them to follow him into his preaching ministry at that first meeting. That's the first thing to note in today's gospel. The first call Jesus issues is the one we talked about earlier. It's always to be a layman in his church, virtually always. Someone who learns to know and believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, with all the duties of the Christian that we talked about a moment ago. So, Jesus was no stranger to these fishermen here on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, to Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, when he approached Simon's boat and asked to put out a little from the shore so that Jesus could use the boat as a sort of pulpit to preach to the people who were still gathered on the shoreline. But Jesus had bigger plans for two of the fishermen in that boat, for Simon and his brother Andrew. He was about to call them into what we call the office of the Holy Ministry. He was about to call them, along with James and John, their partners, and eight others, 12 total, to leave behind their earthly life, their families, or at least their extended families, their careers, their dreams of building any kind of life on earth for themselves, to follow him into his own preaching ministry, to call men to repentance and faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and to face rejection, persecution, hatred, and death for carrying out such a ministry, just as Jesus himself was about to do. Now let's stop for a moment and consider what kind of men Jesus called. Some of the 12 apostles had other occupations, but at least 4 of them, the ones we hear about in our gospel today, and possibly up to 8 of them, as we learn in other parts of the gospel, were fishermen before they were called to go and catch men or to become fishers of men. What does that tell us, that they were fishermen? It tells us, first, that you don't have to be an important person or have an impressive background in order to be called into the ministry. God chooses the unimportant, usually. Average, working, Christian men with all kinds of different personalities and talents. Sinful men, all of them, with plenty of flaws, as we see in all the apostles at various times in the Gospels, and as we see even at the end of today's Gospel, as Peter confesses, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." But they are men who are penitent, who trust in Christ for forgiveness. They are men who are able to teach, able to be trained and to be taught and directed, men who will follow Christ's directions, men who can at least learn to be able to teach after training. That's one of the requirements that St. Paul requires of bishops or pastors in 1 Timothy chapter 3, that they be able to teach. They are men who love Jesus and who have a desire to serve him and to seek the lost with some measure of the zeal of the Good Shepherd himself, although no one will ever really match his love and devotion to mankind or his sacrifice for mankind. Now, since Luke is the only evangelist who includes the miracle of the great catch of fish connected with this calling, Let's pay close attention to what he reports. After preaching to the crowds from Peter's boat, Jesus told Peter to put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, this was all for the sake of the lesson Jesus was teaching them about the ministry to which Peter, Andrew, James, and John were just about to be called, and to teach us about the ministry too. He tells them first where to go. Out into the deep. Later he would simply say, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the general area. But as he reigns from the right hand of God, Jesus also sends and directs his ministers to specific places in the world. He's the one who sends them and tells them where to go. Not with some nebulous feeling they have in their heart of where they're supposed to be. Not with some inner whispering from God. Not by God speaking from heaven. But by the outward call of a group of Christians who call a minister to preach the gospel in their place, in their midst, as I was called here by this congregation some 13 years ago. Jesus also tells the fishermen how to fish. Let down your nets for a catch. This isn't bait fishing or fly fishing, where you try to fool the fish into biting on something that isn't real food or that's intended to harm them and not really to feed them. No, it's simple net fishing. Spread the net over the waters and wait for the Lord to bring the fish into the nets. So it is with the gospel. We preach Christ crucified, as Paul wrote. We preach the whole story of him, from the six-day creation of the world to the real Adam and Eve to the real fall into sin at the temptation of the very real devil. From the first promise of the Christ to Noah, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Moses and the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, to David and all of God's dealings with the people of Israel in the Old Testament, to the birth of Christ, to his preaching, to his death and resurrection, to his ascension and sending of the Holy Spirit, and to the whole body of doctrine that he inspired his apostles to leave for us in the New Testament scriptures. We preach all of it without gimmicks, without salesmanship, without bribery, without apology. In other words, we spread the nets of the means of grace, the preaching of the Word of God, and the administration of the sacraments of God. And then we wait for the Lord to bring the catch he wants to bring. And finally, in St. Luke's account, we see the miraculous catch of fish that happens only by the power and working of Jesus, by means of the net, which the called fishermen had let down at Jesus' word. That's a promise for the ministry, a promise that the Lord will bring the catch by his own working, by his own power, through the means of grace, through the preaching of the gospel, by those who have been called to it. It isn't a promise that every sermon will bring in a large number of people or that every gathering of God's people will be large. It is a promise that the Lord will be the one bringing the people in where and when it pleases him, whatever that number ends up being. In the early days of the church, that number was relatively large. But don't forget that Jesus also foretells of a great falling away in the end times, of the love of most growing cold, of people turning away from the true doctrine to listen to what their itching ears want to hear, as St. Paul warns St. Timothy. But the number of fish, or of men, is in the catch doesn't change at all what the fishers of men are supposed to do. Let down your nets for a catch and trust the Lord to do the work of filling the nets. So in summary, we've seen that God builds his church and grows his kingdom by going not to all people, not to all of the Christians who have been called to faith, but to some men whom he has made Christians already and then calls them into the office of the holy ministry. And now through those men, the Lord himself gathers his flock, feeds his flock, protects his flock, and comforts his flock throughout this life on earth. Before we finish today, though, we should consider how the Lord Christ goes to those men to call them. Just as the Lord is going to all of you right now in the gospel, teaching you, comforting you, strengthening your faith, and guiding you, all of you, to kindness and to love, so he is also going to all the young men here today and calling you to do something. He is not calling you right now into the holy ministry, but he is calling you to think about the ministry, to consider whether or not you have the gifts required for the ministry. Again, those gifts include faith, but also a desire to be one who goes out and seeks the lost and shepherds the found. They also include a willingness to be trained and at least the potential for teaching others. Finally, they include a willingness to be called by Christ through his church to leave everything behind and follow him, not only into the pulpit, but possibly also to the martyr's place. Not all Christian young men are so gifted for the ministry. They aren't all supposed to be. The world needs strong Christian men in all walks of life. But all Christian young men should think about it, consider their gifts, and whether they have the desire to prepare themselves to become candidates for being called into this holy office. Those who are so called follow in the steps of great men like St. Peter and St. Andrew, St. James and St. John, and will receive a prophet's reward if they remain faithful stewards of the mysteries of God. Those who are not called into the ministry still have the great calling that all Christians have to faith and love, to always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for an explanation of the hope that is in you, to follow Christ as your good shepherd throughout this life, and to support the shepherds or the pastors whom he has given to you. And as we heard last week in Bible class from Matthew chapter 10, he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.